Okay, I'd like to declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. And as this is the first meeting after the election of new councillors and their term of office, as the Chief Executive Officer, I'll preside over the meeting until the election of the President. So welcome to the new councillors to the Shire of Corrigan Council and to those councillors returning after the elections. Welcome also to our guests. And I'd also like to acknowledge the Noongar people as the traditional custodians of the land on which we're meeting and pay our respects to elders past and present, as well as those pioneering families who have shaped the Corrigan area into the thriving community we enjoy today. Councillors, staff, members of the public are advised that the council meeting is being recorded for future publication. I have a list of attendance on the screen with all of the councillors present, myself as Chief Executive Officer, Mrs. Henry, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Jared Polinski, Executive Support Officer, and one member of the public. I'd like to call for nominations for President. I have received one prior to the meeting in writing from Councillor Jacobs and any from the floor. Any further nominations for President? There being no further nominations, I will declare Councillor Jacobs elected as the President and to complete her declaration.
I'm Sharon Jacobs of 13 Turn Avenue, Corrigan, Western Australia 6375. Have been elected to the office of President of Shire of Corrigan. Declare that I take the office upon myself and will duly, faithfully, honestly, and with integrity fulfil the duties of the office for the people in the district according to my best of my judgment and ability, and will observe the code of conduct adopted by the Shire of Corrigan under section 5.104 on the Local Government Act 1995. I'd just like to say a couple of words. It is truly an honour to be elected President of the Corrigan Shire. I know this role comes with big responsibilities, and I want you to know that we are a team who can work together to achieve positive outcomes for the community. I will lead with openness, respect and collaboration. I will make sure that everyone's voice is heard and valued. We may face challenges, but I am confident that with our continued combined efforts and commitment, we can make progress in our community. Let's do this together as one council, one team and one community. I just had a few words of advice when first was on council from Councillor Hickey. When dealing with community on issues and you think, oh, what am I going to do here? And he advised to say, how would you solve the issue? Putting it back to them, and we get very interesting discussions, and they sort of back foot at you, but I found that to be very, very successful in asking how you would solve it. And also, I would like to introduce a monthly event of Coffee with the Councillors. Let's give the community an opportunity to speak to us. Let's be visible in the community. So I would like to
Number 5,
election of Election of Deputy President.
We have received one nomination.
We have received one nomination. Councillor Leach, are there any other nominations from the floor? So, Councillor Leach is elected to the role of the Deputy President for a two-year term ending in October 2027.
So I'm Megan Leach of 1136 Corrigan South Road, Corrigan, Western Australia 6375, and being elected to the Office of Deputy President of the Shire of Corrigan. Declare that I take office upon myself and will duly, faithfully, honestly, and with all integrity fulfill the duties of the office of the people in your district according to the best of my judgment and ability, and will observe the code of conduct adopted by the Shire of Corrigan under Section 5.104 of the Local Government Act 1995.
Number six, public question time. Mr. Gannaway, would you like to say anything?
No, I'm just trying to listen all the
other things. Okay, thank you. There's no other thing. Memorials. The Shire has been notified that Frank Dickinson has passed away since our last meeting. Yep, and over there. Mrs. Eva Bell.
This fellow.
Keep it going. Obviously, there's no petitions, declarations, presentations, submissions. Confirmation of minutes 9.1. In the previous council meeting, 9.11, ordinary council meeting, and the officer's recommendation that the minutes of the Shire of Corrigan ordinary council meeting held on Tuesday, the 16th of September, attachment 9.11, be confirmed as a true and correct record. Do I have someone to note that? Councillor Leach. Second up, Councillor Talbot. Councillor Leach, you will be saying. Councillor Talbot? No. All in favour? Seven.
No.
Committee meetings 9.2.1 Bushfires Advisory Committee. Officers' recommendation. The Council receives and notes the minutes of the Bushfire Advisory Committee meeting held on Thursday, the 2nd of October 2025, attachment 9.2.1. Could I please have someone to move that? Councillor Smith. Seconder, Councillor Dyer. Seconder, Councillor Dyer. Councillor Smith, any comments? Councillor
Dyer? Why Corrigan haven't put up a jaw this year? Is it just the pictures? I just noticed that they haven't put up a, I know Bruce Roberts got in touch. There's no jaw. We haven't written or they haven't come back to us?
Well, they haven't come back to us.
Right. All in favour? 7-0. Matters requiring council decision 10.1, corporate and community services 10.11, accounts for payment. Right, officers' recommendation that council receives the list of accounts paid during the month of September 2025 as per the attached schedule of payment and as summarised below. Read you that. So you can see there the different accounts and total of all accounts $116,904.84. I have someone to move this bill. Councillor Hickey and Councillor Leach. Any comments, Councillor Hickey? Councillor Leach? Any others from the floor? Right, all in favour? Right, carry 10.1.2, monthly financial report. I'll ask Mrs. Henry or if she has anything she would like to comment on the report, please.
We did get a quick question just with regards to the interest. Why it's down a little bit, which was a regular question because it was I was able to go and investigate a little bit further through into it. And you have come up with that actual municipal account and we're not actually getting interest on it, which we thought we had NAB come and visit us probably just before June and ask them to change how we get interest on that, which is where I've set and adopted the budget, you know, with that. So it was a good question, sir. So we've gone back to now to say, you know, how come, and also looking into one of our savings accounts to get that as an interest rate capital as well, so that will pop up, getting a bit more interest in there. And also it's just a little bit down, we only invested into WA Treasury Court last in September, so that will start with a lot of it. And I'm getting the girls to have a look at some other term deposits and get some interest rates from a few different other banks as well. So, yeah, so that's basically pretty much we're a bit down with our capital project, but we're just seeking a lot of quotes and stuff at the moment, and hopefully that will start ramping up over June. December down from our project up today.
That's all for me. Comments or questions to Mrs. Hamill? Thank you. Would anyone like to move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Dickinson? Seconder? Councillor Dyer? All in favour? Against? No. 7-0. Right, governance and compliance 10.2.1, appointment of councillors to audit risk and management committee.
Sorry, improvement.
Do you have any comments to that? We've received two expressions of interest have been received for the position of presiding member of the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee for Council. Both expressions are provided for you in attachment 10.2.1. I think with the officer's recommendation, we'll do part one first and then part two and part three. I have someone that would like to move the officer's recommendation number one, please. Councillor Talbot, seconded. Councillor Leach. Any questions, Councillor Talbot? Councillor Leach? Any other questions from the floor? All in favour? 7-0. Right, number two. Could I have someone to move the officer's recommendation?
And they refer to the point, it's not my sense. It's not a good sign, and we all the audience for the city.
Can I have a second for that, please? Councillor Talbot. Any comments, Councillor Hooper?
Just reading the information put forward, I thought that this is most of this probably has a little bit more depth than what the other applicant possibly thought. That's not the case. That's the only form that I've had since she's declared that she's interested in the position for this position. So I'm thankful for that.
But Councillor Talbot?
I agree. She's got experience and shown that she's very talented. Is it just
okay. Anybody else? Comments? Okay, well, all in favour? 7 yeah. Number 3. Can I have someone to move the officer's recommendation, please? So, you, Councillor Dickinson? Mm-hmm. Do you read out who you're going to put in there?
Lynette Baker.
So, you can just read the whole.
Mr. Lynette Baker, Deputy Head of the Presiding Member of the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee.
A second, please. Councillor Dyer. Any comment? Councillor Dickinson?
I think we were also getting that role quite well with the past match. Another comment?
Councillor Dyer? That's about it. Just agree. All in favour? 19.2.2. Appointment of councillors to Chief Executive Performance Review Occasional Committee. My officer's recommendation, I'll do number one first. Can I have someone to move this motion, please? Councillor Leach, a seconder. Councillor Smith. Any comments, Councillor Leach? Councillor Smith? Other comments on the floor? Okay, all in favour? That's 7-0. Number, officer's recommendation number 2. Could we have someone that would like to move that, please? Forward motion. 7-0 against. Okay. Appointment of councillors to advisory committees. Well, number officer's recommendation. Recommendations. Have I got someone who would like to move part one and part two of the officer's recommendation, please? Councillor Hickey?
I would have in relation to the first section of present executives and the governance and management committee, and both the advisory committee is the president and Councillor Smith. Okay.
Seconded, but that's Councillor Dyer. Councillor Hickey, would you like to speak?
I'm happy with the nominations that they go through, and it's good to see Councillor Smith thinking on something he's passionate about, so it would be something as well. Thank you.
Councillor Smith, do you accept?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Dyer, do you have any?
No.
Okay, any other questions? All in favour? Right, 10.2.4, appointments of councillors to external organisation or committees. Have I got someone who would like to move the officer's recommendation as a whole, or would you like me to go through them one by one?
Can move them as a whole?
Yes, you can.
In sections.
So, Councillor Hickey, are you going to move?
Yes, I will. I'll go through section, the organisation, Wollongong Central Zone. Councillor Hickey. Will accept that? Yes. The Road Regional Organisation of Councils, including Road Health, is President, Deputy President, and Councillor Talbot is the policy.
Councillor Talbot is the delegate. Do you accept Councillor Talbot? Councillor Lynch. Thank you. Redbell South Regional Road Group, including Redbell Secondary Great Network.
President and Councillor Dickinson.
Do you accept Councillor Dickinson?
Yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, Stevenson Trust is president.
Yes.
Road Tourism Association, Councillor Lynch.
Do you accept?
Councillor Smith, proxy.
Do you accept Councillor Smith?
I do. Encouraging Senior Citizens Committee, Councillor Talbot.
Perfect. Can I have a seconder, please, for that? Councillor Dyer. All in favour? Just noting that there have been some changes. The dates have been corrected on the actual minutes. The Road Regional Organisation Council, we had the 19th of September, which would be the 19th of December or November. That probably needs to be confirmed. And the other one was Edna Stevenson Trust was another. Have the 9th of August now, it's been correct, to the 9th of November. Right. Member nominations, Regional Joint Development Assessment Panel. Do I have someone who would like to move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Leach.
Right. To the member, I just want to mention that council endorsed the following councillors and local members from the Regional Area Joint Development Assessment Panel for the term expiring on the 26th of January 2028. Councillor Hickey and Councillor Talbot. Two, endorse the following councillors as alternate deputy members of the Regional Area Regional Area Joint Development Assessment Panel in the event that a local member is unavailable for a meeting for the term expiring on the 26th of January 2028, Councillor Lynch, myself, and Councillor Dyer.
Do you accept Councillor Hickey?
Yes, I do.
Councillor Talbot, do you accept?
Yes, sir.
Councillor Dyer?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Councillor Leach.
All. A second.
Oh, a seconder, please. Councillor Dickinson. Councillor Leach, do you have anything about to comment? Councillor Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
All in favour? 7-0 passage. Mm-hmm. 10.2.6, ordinary council meeting dates for 2026. I'm happy to suspend the standing orders because we would like to have a discussion on the time. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Talbot. And a seconder, Councillor Leach. Thank you. All in favour? As you can probably note, the dates are slipped down there. There is, in the officer's recommendation, is endorse council meetings being the third thing, commencing at. So if I've got anyone on the floor that like, would like to put a, like to discuss this matter. Yes, Councillor Dickinson.
Thank you. I would like to suggest having the official meeting time of council to be moved from 6 p.m. to 5 p.m. The reason why I suggest 5 p.m. is that we can, I feel that it's more convenient to be here from 3 o'clock. And then have the discussion period starting at 3 p.m. To then have the official meeting at 5 p.m. because that gives us the ability that majority of times that we generally will be finished within the hour, and be able to, then leave by 6 p.m. Because I myself have, commitments every Tuesday night, 5 months a year, and I'm pretty sure that Councillor Dyer would be in agreement with myself as well. So I'm an advocate to move the official meeting time from 6 p.m. back to 5 p.m.
Yeah, we're just in discussion at the moment.
Yes,
we're getting so. Any other people would like comments regarding the Councillor Higgins? I'm just
in relation to. The change, as we've seen, going from 3 to 6, I don't think it's been in the best interest of it. We discussed it over many years and eventually we decided to go to 6 o'clock. I don't think it's been constructive in having our best time as a council. It's quite difficult to keep people's mind at 6 o'clock at night. And it's harder on a lot of other things that sort of impede some other time. I'd like to see some time go back to 3 o'clock and have a normal directive time and, people, schools, everything else that fit around all these things. So finished by the time we've finished everything up by 5 o'clock, the system seems to be much better. I think it's a lot more productive at that time today, so that's my opinion. That's all right. I mean, Councillor Dickinson and Bible, so that's fine. Okay, so the gentleman is still going. The idea is to go earlier, but firstly, so we can have some more discussion from around the rest of the world.
As an employee, I definitely have found it easier and more convenient to be here later in the day, in that respect, because previously you've had to knock off work at lunchtime, so you don't have a lot of opportunity to get a lot done, if you're only talking about a 4-hour window in the morning. So it has been convenient for me as an employee on that side of things. However, it has pushed back later into other and caused other issues on the other end. So I just felt that, you know, by making a 3 o'clock discussion period, you're only losing two. As an employee,
I'm only losing 2 hours of that particular day. So it gives me plenty of time to do deliveries and do other things in that time. So for me, 3 p.m. through to 6 p.m. was quite convenient. So,
and I agree with that. Well, for me to be taking it, you know, it's basically losing a half day of work, and then because of the nature of my work, I sort of can't be halfway through a service or something, and just, you know, things start to go wrong when you get halfway through a pretty, well, even something as basic as a service, let alone something a bit more major. So being able to sort of go the, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock leaving work, would be significantly more convenient for me, and work better in that regard.
Any other comments?
For me, I prefer 3 p.m. meeting. I like to come here at lunch, have lunch together, have a discussion, because quite often people want to leave, and I think discussion forum is so important, because that's where we kind of plan and are prepared for the next meeting. It comes to the big years too, when we're doing all our planning and looking through financials, we're going to do our long-term financial plan, and it just pushes it out so late at night that I just feel like, poor Myra, I don't feel she gets the best of us sometimes, because they're all a bit, logged off
of the arm. On those particular times when we are needed for extra time, is there the ability to be in touch with council and say, hey, on this particular day, can we meet at lunchtime?
Mm-hmm.
To do all that and still have the proper meeting at 5 p.m.
I'm sorry, but it's easy to have kids in school, and especially at harvest, because I lose. So, like, if you know what I mean, I know that's not a professional job, but that's, you know.
My sort of semi-counter to that is, you know, discussion forum is quite important. But if I then make the choice of doing what I have to do at work or making a hit for a discussion forum, I'm going to do what I have to do at work. Obviously, I'll be here for council meeting stuff. That's part of it. And I'd like to be here for discussion forum as much as possible. But, you know, if I then lose half an hour, an hour of that discussion forum, or hour and a half of it, sometimes that's what I'm going to need to do if it's going to be that early in the day.
I think we've seen what happened before, is even though we pushed it back, those people still missing it. That was the other issue. And that was a little bit frustrating. We all accommodated, and then those other people still, it was actually still hard for them to attend with their work commitments. So, yeah.
Sure. Councillor Smith, have you done
Yeah, I'm happy enough. Yeah, probably meetings time is coming to lunchtime to start. I've probably gone into this position, being self-employed, it's probably a bit easier, but when I looked at joining council, it's time allocated to it, and I see it actually as a part-time position where it basically should be through your work day, not pushing out later. So Matt's other idea of, you know, if we had to come in earlier, if it was a 4 o'clock meeting, that's got merit, but yeah, I'd probably the earlier the better, myself.
So just summarising, so 5 o'clock meeting, it would be 3 o'clock discussion to 4:30. 3 o'clock meeting is the 1 p.m. to 2:30. Another scenario I'll give is a 4 p.m. meeting, discussion 2 to 3:30.
That could work.
I fully respect the people that are, you know, in a situation where they are working and not, you know, working for themselves. I just thought maybe, you know, the 4 o'clock, because I, you know, personally have found, as Councillor Hickey said, the 6 o'clock meeting is not productive at all. I don't think we're going anywhere.
Yeah.
And
100% agree.
We need to change, so we're just putting in discussion time so people can be. So
I guess the other pro with that is if we like if there's odd occasion where you just can't be at the discussion period, you don't have to, but you can always be, you know, hypothetically we said it at 4 o'clock. And also, yeah, 4 o'clock would work well. And that way also, I guess it gives that time, where if we need an extended discussion period after the meeting, then we can still do that. And personally, then I can go, right, 6 o'clock, I've got to get going. So I'd be in favour of that.
Okay, so I think, you know, we've had pros and cons. So
I'll resume.
Standing orders. Can I have a second, please? Councillor Leach. All in favour?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Have I heard someone who would like to move an officer's recommendation? Yes. Councillor Hickey?
The council endorses the following ordinary council meeting dates for 2026, being the third Tuesday of the month, commencing at
4 p.m.
Okay.
That was 4 p.m. The Shire Corrigan Council Chambers except January when there is no meeting held. The dates being 7th of February, it's the third Tuesday, 7th of March, 21st of April, 9th of May, 16th of June, 25th of August, 15th of September, 20th of October, and 7th of November, and finished on the 15th of December. And secondly, request the Chief Executive Officer to speak with public. Local public notice of Lord and Council meeting dates.
Can I have a second, please? Councillor Dickinson. Right, any further comments, Councillor Hickey?
No, well, I'm quite happy with what I was pushing for 3 to go back, but to compromise is very good. 4 p.m. will work, I think it will work better. Inside staff and CEO deputies.
Councillor Dickinson?
Yes, I agree. I think that's a quite a healthy compromise.
And you are all aware that we can revisit this if required at a later date. Right. Anyone like to speak against the motion? All in favour? 7-0. Right. 10.2.7. Register of Council Policies Review. So, huge amount of reading. I don't think we expect you to know it all by word, just a good reference stock. Document that you can go back to if someone speaks to you regarding signage or anything like that, you can refer back to them or refer the policy to them. Okay. Can I have someone who'd like to move the officer's recommendation, please? Councillor Dyer.
Yes. I'd like to move the Council, we endorse the amendments policies as provided in attachment 10.2.7.1, Register of Council Policies to become a new Shire Corrigan Register of Policies in accordance with Section 2.72B of the Local Government Act 1995, with a few small amendments, being Policy 2.1, Invitation to Interview Function, to replace the word luncheon with function. Policy 2.9 and 6.6, retirement, resignation, farewell functions for staff and councillors, to remove the monetary values to allow for greater flexibility. Policy 8.3, street trees, to include reference to when trees are cut and trimmed, but all debris is removed to reduce termite infestation. Policy 11.2, road maintenance. to include consultation with neighbouring shires for roads on shire boundary and other minor administrative amendments as needed.
So, okay, would you like to move number two and...
Oh, yes. To endorse the Shire Corridor and Bushfire Brigade's policies and procedures as provided in attachment 10.2.7.2. Endorse the Shire of Corrigan Work Health Safety policies and procedures as provided in attachment 10.2.7.3 and receive and note the Shire of Corrigan staff policies as provided in attachment 10.2.7.4.
Can I have a second, please? Councillor Dickinson? Do you have any comment, Councillor Dyer, on these policies?
No, nothing.
Councillor Dickinson?
No.
One from the floor, have any comments? Not all in favour? 7 yes. Yes. Ten 10.2.8, change of purpose, Alaran Golf Course Reserve. Mrs. Mann, would you like to speak regarding this?
As presented in the agenda item, this one has come forward as part of a proposal for a clearing permit on the Wickburn Corridor Road. So before we can do any clearing of that road widening, we need to identify a suitable offset and revegetation site. So this Alaran Golf Course site has been proposed to change the purpose of the reserve to from golf course to conservation.
Okay, so someone who can move the officer's recommendation, please. Councillor Tarbert. That does support the request to Minister Blaine. My approval to change the current name of the ground zero from lot 77 on the property of 92382 and lot 592 and lot 500 and conflict 65482 from golf course to conservation. And secondly, authorise the chief executive officer to prepare a submission for appointment to the plan known as the director to represent the change of resort forest. Can I have a second up for the motion, please? Councillor Leach. Have any further comment, Councillor Talbot?
I think it's been used for conservation for 100 years, there have been mansions out there and lots of. I haven't also been used as a golf course for a number of years, so I think it makes sense to proceed in this direction.
Comments? Councillor Leach? Any comments? Any other comments from the floor? All in favour? 7 no. 10.2.9, 2025-26 budget amendment, disaster recovery funding. I will pass this to Mrs. Henry to
So as written, we're seeking, as this wasn't accounted for in the budget and we got the reconciliation after the fact that the budget was adopted, we will secure advice so that we can get paid, and we will look to using the extra funding that we're going to get from the financial assistance grant, and some understandings that we've already started to note in regards to, we've got some vehicles that are coming in cheaper than what we budgeted for, so that will make up the amount in the budget, as written.
Mrs. Manton, do you have any comments? Okay, can I have someone to move the officer's recommendation, please? Councillor Hickey.
Okay. Thank you. Officer's recommendation at council authorised an amendment to the 2025-26 annual budget to reimburse a total of $200,287 to the Department of Fire and Emergency for the reconciled contributions relating to the AGR N978 and AGR N1010. Number two, approve the following allocations transfer of $143,735 to DRF AWA AGRN1010 and transfer $56,552 to DRF AWA AGRN978. And number three, note that this expenditure will be funded from additional finance assistance grants income and any understands to be identified during the upcoming annual budget review, and that staff will continue to monitor the financial performance and report the further adjustments in the February 2026.
Would someone just second recommendation, catch for table? Any comments, Councillor? Councillor Talbot, anyone else on the floor? Okay, all in favour? 7-0. Right, 10.2.10, office closure, Christmas New Year break. Mrs. Manchin?
The item as written there, just providing information that the office closure policy requires the office to be reopened on the first business day after New Year, which is a Friday. We've been opening for just the one day. So the proposal there is for council to endorse the continued closure of the office through the Friday and reopen on the Monday, noting that staff do have an additional local government public holiday for that particular day after New Year. So the staff would take their public holiday.
I had someone to recommend to move the officer's recommendation, Councillor Talbot, or Councillor Dyer, sorry.
The council approves the closure of the Shire Administration Office, Torrington Community Resource Centre and Works Depot from the close of business Wednesday 24th of December 2025, reopening on Monday 5th of January 2026 as a one-off variation to the policy 1.4 office closure, Christmas slash New Year period for 2025-26.
My seconder, please. Councillor Talbot. On this recommendation,
just to say that it makes sense and seems fair and might be decent thing to do. So.
Thank you. And Councillor Talbot?
No.
All in favour? Oh, sorry, did anyone else want to speak? All in favour? 7-0. Jumping the gun. 10.2.11, funding for medical services in rural areas. Mrs. Manchin, would you like to?
This again, as written, just in support of the Shire of Lake Grace's motion to join them in advocating for additional federal assistance grants for those local governments that provide medical services.
Yeah. Okay. Can someone move the officer's recommendation, Councillor Leach?
I'd like to move the motion that Council joins the Rural Local Government Alliance and WALGA in advocating for an increase to total federal assistance grant funding to local government and the medical facility cost adjusted and rate of the financial assistance grants to local government. And recalculate distributions to local government providing direct cash payments to attract and retain general practitioners to allow break care funds to be redirected to core local government services and options.
I'll have a seconder, please. Councillor Smith. Any comments? Councillor Leach?
In the 24-25 budget, we spent over $300,000 providing medical services to the Corrigan community. They are vital, but they're very expensive and come at a cost. This issue was actually raised at the WALGA annual general meeting this year. And a lot of people are in the same boat and finding that it's becoming something that's really expensive and money. Yeah. Where's the roof? Where's the limit? Everyone's talking amongst each other and saying, I'm getting this, I'm getting that. So if we can be unified and get some help, that would be fantastic.
Councillor Leach?
Councillor Smith?
I agree with Councillor Lynch. Yeah, thank you. With good other consultant from other towns, we set that limit, otherwise who knows, it gets to the point where, you know, we're paying an absolute fortune for a doctor. If someone keeps outbidding us, or if it's a level playing field, we can, hopefully have, medical, doctors in every town.
Any further comments on the report? Okay. This is, for this motion, 7-0. 10.3, works and services. No, I can see it. They haven't chief executive officer's report. Samantha, any further?
I would just like to make mention and thank Councillor Hickey for his support during his time as president, now that he's set down for the role, to welcome the new councillors and looking forward to working with you all, and to Councillor Jacobs as the new president going forward. That will be, will be good. Thank you.
All right. Well, president's report, I think I have to go and report of going on. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if I am, but I am. I know it's going to be a lot of work, but that's, I'm prepared to do it. So I'll just be putting my heart and soul into it to make this a better community for all of us. Councillors' questions, reports, and information.
I do have one. It's to congratulate Councillor Jacobs for taking on such a position and also Councillor Lynch for stepping in again. Thank you very much for your support throughout the time I was in the role. It's certainly a very rewarding job within the community. I found it just at that time, and I was lucky to do that. Well, welcome to the three new councillors, and Councillor Smith, Councillor Herbert, and Councillor Bell. Thank you for taking on the role. It's, you know, feel more comfortable with me. I must say, you were very comfortable with the meeting today. Just on a comment, I had the privilege of going as Zone Chair to a meeting with Minister Minton, Sabine Minton, who's the worker went to the Minister of the Labor Government in an area. And we met as the zones from the Weeper area in Perth, at Town House. It's the first time I've had the privilege of meeting to Town House and had children at lunch. And it was very nice, but the basics of discussion were about medical housing skills and come down to those. I don't think Sabine was at all aware of the cost that was put in by councils into their own medical. She was sort of thinking that medical would just go along with that. And I think I made the analogy as is between 12 and 15. I think I'm about right. She was shocked by that person. So I wrote a book in common, which was an absolute shock, as you couldn't believe, but that amount of money was spent. And I said, well, this is not what we want to do, but we have to have those sort of facilities in our town. I'm not getting that backup and support. That goes with housing, it goes with all the other bits and pieces. So when we had that support from the zones of others and the zones to the northwest of us. So it was a good discussion over time, but I think we made one point very clear that the lines of communications are always open. If there's ever a question from them, or we get a question on both sides, with their lines of communication open as well, and they're prepared to come and be in our zones for a meeting time at least once a year. So that was a little bonus in that respect. She's got time to really advise them. So she's making herself available. How far that gets within the week, well, we'll have to see. She's Minister for Education. She's been in education all her life. Data off at Norseman, went to all the back country. So, she's understands what the country is about. So, that it's happened to be, I think, called up. We'll see where it goes. So that's about all I've got to report on this. Nothing else, so it's the end of the night. Tina, I'll hand it over to Councillor Jacobs. Thank you.
Councillor Leach.
I'm just going to
give I'm honoured to be Deputy Shire President. I've got some good mentors, Councillor Hickey and Councillor Jenkins. I'm sure, yeah, I'm here to learn and grow. And yeah, it's Shire has been something that I've been really enjoying for the past 2 years, and especially when we're doing our community plan and consultation. So I just wanted to talk, Councillor Jacobs, Councillor Fair, and Mrs. Manson and myself able to go to the WOW 2025 conference. This year's theme was Lean Into Legacy, so we're talking about future generations, which I think when you look around the room and council and their general age demographic, I think that's one thing we really need to look into, because when you're in that room, from a small shire, it's quite intimidating when you've got other bigger shires and bigger towns. There's a lot of professional people, a lot of people that are training, a lot of money and resources by going to their shires, but I think it really highlighted to me the importance that we retain strong, we have our voice, and if we have matters, that we bring them up and make them known. And I think that's where Bro Rock, we are quite strong when we are together as shires. Yeah, so it's really important, I think, to have that voice. Hannah Beasley talked on by video, but she was saying how she, who's the Minister for Local Government, is really wants to push, well, to have compulsory voting for elections. I'm not sure how the turnout was for these recent elections, but also she would like to make 4-year terms on 2-year terms in order to create consistency. I don't know personally whether I fully agree with that, but that's kind of her direction for where that she is pushing. I think just because there's been so much unease with other councils and not the shires, and in recent media, President Karen Chappell is retiring. I'm not sure what year she's actually stepping down.
Shortly.
So the main themes kind of going at the conference was AI is coming, renewable energy is coming. Wow, this year, whether we love it or not, so we have to kind of be prepared. There's a lot of talk about preparing for the next generation. I think we really have done well. We're trying to do that with our 10-year plan. Then we're going to do our long-term financial plan. That's trying to have those ideas and think ahead and plan for future. It's a good experience to go to, and it'll be good to have other councils go next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The AGM, the only motion that was lost that we voted on was about 50% of meetings being via remote, by digital
electronic
means. No one could decide. It went back and forth, amended about 50 times. So that was kind of thrown out and lost. Some people actually raised some things I didn't even think about before I voted on it. So, yeah, maybe it needs to be taken back to drawing board. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leach, for that. Yes, I thought after the first day, I don't know what I'm here for, particularly the first speaker. I thought, it's going to be like this. Second day, I enjoyed a lot more where they talked about Shire collaborating with others, e.g. like Kalamunda were there talking, and of course we deal with Kalamunda. I think they have 9 other councils. The one I really did like was the association of the City of South Perth with the Council of Derby East, is it East Kimberley?
Derby West Kimberley
had struck up a relationship. It's all helping with planning and they're building and they're educating, you know, it's a two-way education. Because these City of South Perth ones will go up there and they have to live in the the Dongers, not in the five star D, and but it's helping Kimberley up there because they can't get building people and that to come. And yeah, so it's a two-way street there that they're training people up there to be able to do the jobs and that. So that was a really, I thought, a really good success story. And I think there's going to be a lot more of it. I think some of the big city councils are now realising that they do have things in the country. And then in the afternoon, one of the sessions I attended in the afternoon were three different shires presented what they were doing. Shire of Murray put out, and they bought the old Exchange Hotel, which is a prime location in Pinjarra. And, you know, they had a bit of resistance, but what it has brought to the town apparently has been amazing. All the businesses are thriving. The hotel's thriving. There's this historic things going. So it was a real success story of what we can. And it's really revitalised Pinjarra. So I'm thinking I'd like to go and have a look there. So if anyone goes past, it's been a lot of historic things in it as well.
Oh, can we be busting? Go and check the roads out on the way there.
And then the City of Swan spoke about being inclusive with people and that, and there's several businesses that have taken it up, making sure their doors are wide enough for the people with wheelchairs and, you know, people who have disabilities or that, that they go, and there's several businesses there that are thriving because people are feeling they're being included, being able to go to these places that there's not, the doors are not wide enough or they don't have toilet facilities, etc. And then Noangara, the Shire of Noangara, spoke about trying to revitalise their town because they have a lot of Plymouth brethren there, and they had lost, I think they had lost quite a few things, and they had worked together, and they must have a committee now, that they're putting this, they had a meeting about the town, and they had 80 people turn up. So obviously everyone felt there was a need for this, and they have now opened up their IGA, which got burnt down 3 or 5 years ago. I think they're looking at their hotel, you know, locals coming in and buying businesses to keep everyone on track. And they're having a, I think, I've forgotten what they called it, but they'll have a sort of a show where there's some stands coming, you know, people to showcase what they've got and things like that to just get the community back thriving, and it appears to be on a good track. So they were, it was nice to hear what other people are doing to keep their towns going, revive their towns. So they were all, you know, good stories to hear. And of course, Glenn McGrath, the Icons Breakfast, his key thing was never say never. Because he has said it quite frequently, like when he lost his first wife, he was never getting married again, never having children. And of course, he married again, he's got another child. And never, but there were a couple of, he was never moving to Queensland and he was never doing something else. And he's done both of those. So he says, never say never. And he spoke about the McGrath Foundation and, you know, how they've got 340 nurses on board now from where they started. It's all crisis now. Yeah. So that was a success. So his home is never say never. Because you just never know. It was quite, you know, good. And talked about his cricketing career and how as a 19-year-old he moved to, had to move from Sydney being a country boy, and he lived in a caravan. You can imagine this 6-foot-5 guy living in a caravan. And they talked about his nicknames, and his first nickname was Millard, because he was living in a Millard caravan. And yeah, about how he got pigeon and a few things, so it was light-hearted. So it was, you know, an enjoyable few days. And that's, okay. Anyone else got any reports or that they would like to share with us? No. Number 14. There's no urgent business approved by the President or decided by Council. Information bulletin that you would have, it was about the Wheatbelt Connect, who they actually spoke at Row Rock recently. So I guess you can just quickly get through that. Our crime statistics for the last couple of months. The last month, very few. I've left from the tennis club, I guess you've all read, just thanking them for one of the community grants they received to do their gutters and eaves, which is nice to see. The officer of Audit General, I think that is who they are asking to bring out for people to, for audits, putting up tenders.
Yeah.
State Council meeting,
which was
a lot of pages. I'm assuming you've read that.
One of those things that skipped through.
Yeah. And then Finance and Services Committee. That's the selection committee. So that was a confidential article. Recruitment panel. I don't know if anyone has any other comments from the bulletin, from the information bulletin, and then the State Council report, which is 10 pages, and then the Paddock Camp, a letter, which I hope you've all read. This letter is to inform you that we are withdrawing our development application for the Paddock Camp Corrigan. We cannot find a way to make it viable. Get a viable business with the cost of getting approval exceeding $10,000. At $20 per vehicle per night, it would take us years to recover the cost. We are devastated because we enjoy the interaction and excitement for our campers, and we can see the need for this type of accommodation in Corrigan. If anything changes in the future, we may revisit the idea. For now, we have bookings up till the 26th of September and plan to close the gate for our guests. Thank you for your support as we went through this very difficult and confusing process. I'm disappointed that this has happened, and I think we need to try and retain businesses' activities in our town like that, because the Kennys were very good supporters of our town, and they redirected their visitors to, you know, the tourist side of things and that. So, you know, I think perhaps, as we were speaking earlier, the Bell's assessment needs addressing, because I think it's ridiculous that they have to go through that. So I think it's something that we need to keep in mind, because I don't want businesses to be closing. It's in our town. So I think we can support them in some way in, you know, advocating for this Bell's assessment. It would be a great idea. Okay, there's no Walga and Central Zone motions. Next meeting, ordinary council meeting on the 18th of November 2025 at 4 p.m. That's correct, isn't it? Yes. 4 p.m. I will declare the meeting closed at 7:08 p.m. So thank you all for your attendance.